Parsha Bechukesai. The Sicha for today, for this Parsha, is in Chelek Gimel, Volume 3 of Likutei Sichos. On the Pasuk, Im Bechukesai Telechu, the Medrash says, and Rashi also quotes it, Yochol Eile HaMitzris, when God says, if you will go in my statutes, I could assume that that means mitzvahs. Talmud Leimar, Shetiyu Amelim B'Tezah. That Im Bechukesai Telechu is not referring to all the commandments mentioned earlier in the Tezah, but instead, Im Bechukesai Telechu means strive to understand Tezah, to learn Tezah. How do we know this? Because a few sentences later it says, Ve'es Mitzvesai Tishmeru, keep my mitzvahs, which shows that the earlier statement, Bechukesai Telechu, must be referring to something other than mitzvahs, other than keeping of the mitzvahs. So what does it refer to? It refers to studying the Torah diligently. Now we need to understand that Rebbe says, if Bechukesai Telechu was referring to mitzvahs, then we could understand a little bit why they are referred to as Chukesai. Because we know that there are three kinds of mitzvahs. There's Eidus, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Chukim are those mitzvahs for which we have no reason. And all mitzvahs, even the ones that we do understand, and the ones that we can give a reason for, or the Torah gives a reason for, essentially, Chassidus teaches us that we should fulfill those mitzvahs also only because God told us to do it, and not because of the reason that we've discovered or because of the reason that is given. So that in essence, all mitzvahs should be treated as chukim, all mitzvahs should be treated as that which God commands, and that's reason enough for us to do them. So if it was referring to mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, it would make sense that the Torah refers to all mitzvahs as chukim, because all mitzvahs have this element of chukim in them. But now that the Torah tells us that Im Bechukesai Telechu is not referring to mitzvahs, but it's referring to the study of Torah, now we need to understand why would Torah be described as chukim, when in fact Torah is something you're supposed to understand. Torah you have to learn in order to know and to understand. Why would Torah be called chukim? And particularly when the majority of Torah, the biggest part of Torah, is the part that you need to understand. Because there's a difference between the written Torah and the oral Torah. In the written Torah, Torah Shebiktav, if you read the words but don't understand the meaning, you are still fulfilling a mitzvah. And that's why even an ignorant person can be called up to the Torah, and he can make the bracha for the reading of the Torah, even though he doesn't understand the meaning of the words that will be read. But in Torah Shebaal Peh, in the oral Torah, in the Gemara, here you have to understand, and if you don't understand, you can't make a bracha on it. It would be a bracha made in vain. And when it comes to quantity, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, is much greater in quantity than the written Torah. So the greater portion of Torah is that part of Torah that must be understood. Another difference between the written Torah and the oral Torah is that the written Torah is a fixed quantity. You can't add to it. You can't add to the written Torah. You can't add to the Chumash or to the Navi. But when it comes to the oral Torah, which is beginning with the Mishnah and the Gemara and so on, here the quantity is endless, because any valid insight that any student in the future will have in the oral Torah becomes part of oral Torah. So the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, continues to grow and to increase, whereas the Torah Shebiktav is fixed and closed and cannot be increased. Now, in the written Torah itself, even in the Chumash itself, the part of the Chumash that deals with mitzvahs that can be understood versus that part which deals with chukim, here also the part that deals with mitzvahs that can be understood is a greater part in quantity than the part that deals with the chukim that can't be understood. So why would the Torah be described as chukaisai when in fact chukaisai is such a small part of the entire Torah? The Alter Rebbe in Lakuta Torah explains that b'chukaisai, which means statutes or commandments, also has the meaning of chakika, which means engraved. And the pasuk here is trying to tell us that the manner in which we should study Torah is in such a way that the words of Torah become engraved in our mind and heart. What is the virtue of engraved letters compared to other letters? Not only are the engraved letters completely united with the material in which they're engraved, which is similar to letters written on parchment that are connected, that bind with the parchment and become one. The great virtue of the engraved letters is that the letters themselves have no substance of their own, but they are made of the material in which they are engraved. Whereas the written letters, although the ink is bonded to the parchment and is connected to the parchment, yet it is a substance separate from the parchment. Whereas in the engraved letters, not only are the letters joined to the substance that they're engraved in, but they are made of the substance that they're engraved in. And this is the lesson of the teaching of the word b'chukaisai, referring to the study of Torah. The Torah is trying to tell us that in the study of Torah, the person who is studying needs to be so united with the Torah itself. It has to be the kind of a learning where the studier, the student, and the subject, the Torah, do not remain two separate entities, two separate substances, but rather that they should become so joined and united that they should become one. It's not enough that a person is united with Torah in the way that letters are united with the parchment on which it is written, because of a devotion that the student has for the Torah, but it has to be the kind of union, the kind of oneness that is expressed only in the engraved letters. And that is that the student becomes one with Torah because he has no substance of his own. He is not something separate from the Torah, but he becomes the Torah. Not just joined with the Torah, but he becomes the Torah itself. Just as the engraved letters are the substance in which they are engraved. We find, for example, by Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first one to receive the Torah, that he was so completely bottle, he was so completely transparent and not an entity unto himself, that he was able to say, V'nosati esev, I will, if you do the commandments, V'nosati esev, I will make the grass grow and the rain come and so on. And he didn't have to stop and say, I am quoting God. He says, I will make the grass grow. Of course, he was speaking in the name of God, but he didn't even have to say that, because Shechinah medaberet metech grenei, he didn't experience himself as something separate from Torah, so that when he spoke, Torah was speaking. Find this also with Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who said, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah, im shnayim heim v'im chadhu, and so on. He said, there are very few truly saintly people, and if there are two, it's me and my son, And if there's one, it's me. Although he was not at all capable of priding himself, he didn't have any pride at all, and tzaddikim in general have no pride and are not given to boasting or to giving themselves credit. And yet the Rashbi was able to say this in all innocence because he never experienced himself as something separate from godliness. He was an engraved godliness, and therefore when he said, "I am what I am," it was without any self-awareness at all. And as we've spoken many times, all explanations in Torah, although there are many on the same subject or on the same word, they are all connected and related to each other. And so the Alter Rebbe's explanation that B'chukeisai means engraved, that teaches us that we should become so united and merged with Torah that we shouldn't be anything other than Torah itself, how does that combine, how does that fit with the simple meaning of B'chukeisai, which means a commandment that you don't understand, which would seem to be telling us that we should study the Torah in such a way that we accept it, the Kabbalah so, without need to understand. And that would mean that although it's true that Torah needs to be understood with human intelligence, but the fact that Torah needs to be understood and the commitment to understanding Torah with human intelligence, that commitment itself is taken or received as a commandment from above which needs no further justification. And so we go about studying Torah and understanding it with our intelligence only because that's the way God wants us to study the Torah, and not because we enjoy it more that way. And that's why the effort of studying Torah, amelim b'Torah, that we should be striving to study the Torah, means that we should study the Torah more than our nature or our curiosity or our studiousness or our natural diligence would permit. So if a person studies Torah only to the degree that he enjoys the study, then he's doing it for his own purposes. But if he is striving in the study of Torah, he is studying more than his personality or character permits, then we know that he is studying Torah because it is Torah and not because it is his enjoyment. And in this way we bring together the two explanations. When you study the Torah in such a manner that you treat it as a chukim, that you study beyond your natural tendency, beyond your natural comfort level, then you reach this level of chakika, then you become engraved in the Torah, you become letters of Torah and not something separate from Torah. What remains to be explained is, what is the expression teilechu? Im b'chukeisai teilechu. If you will go in my statutes. Going implies progress from level to level. So it would apply to that which comes in many levels, and you are commanded to proceed and to grow, to go in these levels. As for example, in human emotions, you can grow from level to level, from a lower level love to a greater level love. And the same is true also in intelligence. You can go from a minor childish understanding to a more mature understanding to a great understanding. But what does it mean to grow and to proceed from level to level in those commandments that you accept without questioning and without need to understand? Where are the levels there? So again, in Likut HaTorah, the Alter Rebbe says that the word Teilechu implies a reward. That there is a reward for the Chukeisai, for the efforts that we make in the Chukeisai, and the reward is Teilechu, that you will proceed, you will grow infinitely. The simple meaning of it is, the way we teach it to kids in cheder, is that the whole story begins with "V'nasati gishmeichem be'itam," that if you will follow the commandments, then God promises that He will give the rains in their time and so on. And the Teilechu refers to the efforts of the person. But the Alter Rebbe turns it around and says that the Teilechu is the true reward. What will you get for studying Torah properly? What you will receive, the reward you will get, is the Teilechu, that you will move, you will progress endlessly. In the Lakuta Torah, the Rebbe says that the essence of Emunah, the true faith that a Jew is supposed to have, is in those parts of God which we cannot understand. That part of God which we can understand, we must work hard to understand and not get by on faith. It's only when we've understood everything we are capable of understanding and we've reached the outer limits of our intelligence, there Emunah takes over and we believe in that which lies beyond our intelligence. That's the difference between the belief of a Jew and the belief of other nations. All nations believe in God, but their belief is not the same. They believe in those things that their intelligence tells them exists. And that's why they can only believe in that part of God that is associated with creation. Because the part of God associated with creation is to some degree within the realm, within the grasp of human intelligence. Whereas that which precedes creation completely, in this there can be no understanding, and in this the nations of the world have no belief. And so it's understood that since in intelligence there are many levels, and you can grow from level to level, so the higher the understanding is, the higher will the faith be. Because the more you understand, the more you move your faith to an even higher level, to that which is beyond what you've understood today, which you didn't understand yesterday. So that which you needed to believe yesterday, you now understand. So what do you use your emunah for? What do you use your faith for? That which is even higher than what you believed yesterday. And so we understand how it's possible to grow in faith, to grow in chukim. The higher your understanding of mitzvahs is, the more you appreciate that which the mitzvah has that you can't yet understand. And so you move higher in your acceptance of the mitzvah as a mitzvah for its own sake. The more you understand what can be understood about the mitzvah, the more you appreciate the part of the mitzvah that cannot be understood. And so we find by Moshe Rabbeinu that God said to him, "To you I will reveal the purpose and the meaning of the red heifer," which is the ultimate of the chukim, a mitzvah that we cannot understand at all. Yet God says to Moshe, "To you I will explain, you I will give a reason for the red heifer." And from then on, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the red heifer was no longer part of the chukim. And yet, certainly by Moshe, there was no lack of chukim in his experience and in his service of God. In the way that he served God, there were chukim in his world as well, even though the Parah Adumah was not part of it. So we have to say that even after God explained to Moshe the reason for the Parah Adumah, Moshe found in that mitzvah itself, in the red heifer itself, a higher level that the explanation didn't cover. And so the mitzvah remained on some level also part of the chukim. And this is what it means in B'chukeise Teilechu, that if we study Torah properly and we continue to strive in understanding the Torah, we will grow not only in the understanding but also in the level that is beyond understanding, in the chukim part of the Torah. So there can be an actual growth even in those areas that are bigger than the human being. And then, what is the reward for all of this? V'nasati gishmeichem be'itam, v'eilich eschem kememiyus, that the world itself also becomes godly, and we are moved, we progress towards the ultimate redemption, at which time, yechol mechayel ochayel, there will be an endless growth of goodness, increased goodness, without an end, and that's why it's called L'yom Shekulei Shabbos Omenucha L'chayi Ha'ilamen. A time of Shabbos, a permanent Shabbos, that is the world to come, when there will be a constant increase in goodness.